What are all the kids saying nowadays? I'm hangry.
That's a thing, dude.
That's a kid said. Like that's like in scared. That's like in the dictionary now, isn't it? I think Webster added it to the dictionary. I'm hangry.
Hangry. I'm going to be hangry if we don't get the show on the road.
All right, here we go.
Showry. I don't know. That was dumb.
You were right there, and you just had to go off that cliff. Just had to go.
I had to try. You know, you never know what's going to happen.
All right.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and you know what? We'll throw Satchel in there anyway, even though I'm pretty sure none of you listen to us on there. Well, it is Valentine's Day as we were recording this, and man, the Capitals are a bunch of heartbreakers. Killing us this week. Not looking good. I was there on Sunday. They go up to the peg and lose it in the third period. Took their foot off the gas. Got some questionable penalties and whatnot. But joining me as always, Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
You know what? I wish Sunday would have been a little bit better at the Caps game, but you know what? We're here. We're here to talk about it. We got Olympic hockey to talk about finally. It's an interesting time to be a hockey fan. It really is.
It's definitely an interesting time to be a Caps fan and the similarities between them and the U.S. men's team.
Very true. We are definitely going to break that all down. But let's talk a little bit about the Caps and what we saw this past week. They've had three games since we talked last. I guess we're going to focus a little bit more on the losses. But anyway, why don't you update everybody how have the Caps been since we talked last week?
Terrible.
Very
terrible,
true.
Brandon. Yeah. They lost 45 games in 1 week. It was,
man, we missed a lot.
They are just the worst. They went 1-0-2 with a win over Columbus, but they had overtime losses to Detroit and an ugly one last night to Winnipeg. So this team is taking their foot off the gas. This is not anything necessarily new for this team. They've done that plenty of times in the past, and it's the same freaking problems. And at first you're like, okay, these guys are starting to recognize what the problems are and they're going to get better. But at some point, you know, the problems are just so repetitive that it's like, are they even paying attention to it anymore?
It really is. And it's interesting. Well, we're going to break this all down, but Braden Holtby, he was talking about some of the play the end of the third in Winnipeg. And I mean, he said it was pathetic. It was arrogant. And I definitely can see that coming from that Caps bench being a little arrogant and not taking this team seriously. But let's go back to Sunday real quick. I want to talk about this Detroit game. I was there. I was live up in the nosebleeds to watch this game. Not a full house. I had four seats that were empty next to me. And you know what? It's weird. Last year, I only went to one game. It was on election night. People had their minds in other places in D.C., and it was like the most silent game I had ever heard because you could tell people like were like trying to get their mind off of things and didn't like – they were wondering if they're going to have a job the next day or whatnot and what was going on. So I'm like, all right, so people are going here, but they're on their phones. They don't really pay attention to the game. This game – in against Detroit, again, the Verizon Center was pretty quiet. They didn't do the Unleash the Fury video, which I thought was weird. But it was throughout the game. It wasn't until those last couple minutes where the Caps tied it up where
they decided to wake up and actually play some hockey.
Yeah, the crowd was not into this game. The Caps, it looked like, especially in that second period, they were not into that game. What's been in your experience? I don't think you've been to a game this year, but has it been weird with you? Maybe like you've noticed on TV or games last year, the crowd seems to be different. I don't know how to explain it, but the crowd, the live experience at Verizon Center, sorry, Capital One Arena.
There you go.
Have it. It seems
different. At the bank.
Yeah. It seems different to me that this is – maybe the Caps have lost a little bit of luster with the local crowd, and they know what to expect come April, and they're just kind of not paying attention to each game and just kind of dreading what the future holds. I don't know. What do you think?
Last time I was at a game, I feel like it was – I mean, fine's not the right word necessarily, but I feel like the atmosphere was fine. Their players, you know, the fans were, you know, loud and whatever and involved. I don't feel like it was necessarily an issue. They've always had an issue where they've said it's, you know, they've sold out games. And while that might be true that all of the tickets were sold, not everyone's always attending.
Sure.
So, you know, that's neither here nor there. Every time I've gone to a game, I felt like it's been pretty loud. It's been fun, especially when they win. That Detroit game, though, I mean, it's hard as a fan because they're down 4-1 after the second period. And do you really get back into the game at that point? Are you like, well, this sucks? They got complete. I mean, the second period was the worst period of hockey we've seen in a long time from this team.
It really was bad.
I mean, Connolly scored shortly into the third, so you're like, okay, maybe they'll make a game of it. But then it's not until, what was it? Orlov scored at the 14:02 mark, so it's not until almost the end of the game that they really start to make it a thing. And so it's, you know, when you pay a lot of money and you go out and you see that kind of effort from the players in the second period, you're like, well, what was the point in being here?
Mm-hmm.
So as a fan, you know, you go to have fun, but you also go because you want to see them, if they're, you know, if they're not going to win, at least play well. And we weren't seeing that necessarily. So it was disappointing to see that performance. It was nice that they were able to come away with a point and one that they definitely did not deserve. But you expect better from them in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad I kind of was hunting for a pretzel the majority of the second period for some reason.
Dude, what?
The entire.
How long and how hard is it to get a pretzel, man?
You know what? Apparently there was a run on pretzels because it took me like four vendors, even though there were pretzels in the machine. They said, oh, they're not baked yet. You need another 10 minutes. So I got my $12 Pacifico beer and went to the next pretzel place, and they were out.
What the hell is a Pacifico?
It's like a Corona, but it's different. I drank them when I was doing a video shoot down in Arizona a couple years ago, and that's my go-to now if I want like a cerveza. But I spent most of my time looking for that and looking for some Stadium Series gear for you because I know you're such a big fan of how it looks.
Oh my God! Don't you dare!
But.
Freaking worst.
This Detroit game was kind of interesting. I don't know if it was the beginning of the fall for this team because that second period was terrible. Holpe left the ice. He slammed a stick against the boards. You could tell he was ticked off. It was like what?
It was less than plays.
Two goals in 3 minutes, something like that, to end the second. But it was good to see him come back. You know, we've seen Backstrom kind of get goals in the 60th minute. So it was good that there was no quit in this team, but you could tell this team was not motivated to win this day. And it didn't seem like they were really motivated to win against Winnipeg either. Is it a mental thing at this point, or what do you think the problem is with the Capitals? I mean, it's February now. We don't have much time left in the season. And the Penguins, I think, are what, within 3 points of the Caps now? I mean, there's a lot of teams on their heels, and there's a chance that the Caps could fall a little bit here. I don't think – I mean, I don't want them to ever slip, but at this point you think they would be, like, fine-tuning to get ready for the playoffs.
So I think to some extent when you're a team that's been in the playoffs so many years, I mean, I think I read something like 4 of the last 5 and 10 of the last 11, you know, things can get a little stale, I guess, from time to time.
And sure.
It gets a bit repetitive in the middle of the season. You're tired. And at some point, I guess you are going through the motions, and it's a responsibility of the coaching staff to get them out of that. They're 3 points up on the Penguins right now, but the Penguins have played 2 more games. So that's assuming the Caps win 2 more games, then they go up by 7 points. So it's not, right? So it's not necessarily the end of the world. I do find it interesting that they have fallen behind Tampa Bay, Boston, and Toronto. Excuse me, overall points total. Toronto's got 73, Boston's got 78, and Tampa's got – when the hell did Boston get good again? And Tampa Bay's got 79. So I need to wake up a little bit, and it's funny. I think our buddy Ryan Drew is actually on Twitter. I don't know. when it was. And he was saying that he expects, you know, he feels like the Caps need to make. Now, Ryan's a bit over dramatic all the time. But I, you know, he feels like they need to make a trade. They need to shake things up right now. And I was like, well, hold on. They don't have the cap space to pull that off. So that's number one. I don't think necessarily blow it all up, but they do need to get him. You know, someone needs to put a little, you know, kicking a little bit because it's a little interesting. I mean, they give up a ton of goals. I'm actually looking at the goal differentials right now, and in the Metropolitan, it's not pretty. I mean, the Caps have a plus 11, Pittsburgh's a plus 8, Philadelphia's a plus 2, New Jersey is a minus 6, Carolina's a minus 11. Actually, everybody else pretty much in the East, with the exception of Tampa Bay, Boston, and Toronto, are minus. Jesus, Buffalo's a minus 51. You suck. But then you look at Tampa Bay.
Well, don't say that. The Caps are up against Buffalo. It's going to be really bad if they lose to them.
Jesus. Well, they already did once. But Tampa Bay is a plus 50. Boston is a plus 52. Toronto's a plus 30. So these are teams that are not only scoring goals, but they're also stopping other teams. Although Toronto has given up 3 less goals than the Caps, but they've scored almost 20 more. They scored 16 more goals. So this team is struggling right now, and they needed a bit of a wake up. And it's not maybe they're going on a road trip, which can be either really good or really bad because it gives you a chance to bond and really get together with the guys. The problem is it's freaking February, and you should not have to worry about that.
Right.
Now, if you're and I don't know how I feel about this necessarily, but if you're a general manager, do you make a trade now with your team on a road trip? Because it helps that new player gel with the team that much quicker because they're around each other so much? Or do you wait till they get back home so that they can settle into their new surroundings?
I would say when they get back home, because, I mean, living out of a bag is no fun. And if you – that's how you start off your career.
Well, he's already kind of doing that if you get traded near the deadline.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but I don't know. If you're going from some place that you know that you're comfortable with onto the road, and then you're there for a week, and then you get settled in, like you're already like looking, where can I buy a condo or something or rent a place? Your mind's already in D.C. if you're coming to D.C.
I guess that's true. I think the Caps tend to help a player. Like when they bring guys in, they help them find housing. I think most teams probably, like, you know, they have, like, when the young guys come up, they, like, you know, they have housing for them. So, like, when Bowie first came up, they had some housing for them.
So that's why they're like, get your own apartment, you bums.
Yeah, stop living off of us, you son of a. I don't know if that's 100% correct what I just said. I'm fairly confident in that. But, I mean, I have to imagine when you get traded, there's like people that work for the Capitals that their whole job is make sure the players, the new guy is situated, you know, getting them a place to sleep and getting them transportation to and from and, you know, a town car, whatever it is, ordering those kind of things. Just getting them from here to there to make sure that there's so much less that player has to stress about. Because think about it. I mean, this isn't – we talk about like, oh, trade this guy and move this guy out and cut him. And, you know, I talk about wanting to get rid of Orpik all the time, and I don't say that to be mean, I say that because I feel like that's in the best interest of the team. But these are still human beings that are, you know, we have. I can't remember who said it on Twitter, but I was reading it the other day. That think about how lucky we are in, you know, having a job that you go to the same job every day and you'll likely be there the next day. Whereas in professional sports, especially in like football, but hockey and the other ones to some extent, you could be traded or cut and just no longer have a job.
Yeah, that's terrible.
At any moment, you know?
Well, I mean, technically that could happen to any of us, but the likelihood of that happening. Yeah.
But it's very, I mean, us being, you know, cut from our job is one thing. But I mean, you know, you're not, the likelihood of you going into work tomorrow and your boss coming up and saying, hey, we've just traded you to another network is highly unlikely. And, you know, this network is in Minnesota. You know, it's unlikely. You have that ability to not have to worry about that.
Right.
This is a reality in sports. And yes, they make a lot of money, and so they should be able to handle it, and blah, 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 blah. They're still people, and we need to understand that. I don't even know how we got onto this topic. The other, to go back to the whole, why are they playing like crap? It happens. I mean, we've talked about this so many times. Seasons are peaks and valleys. I think right now they're getting into a little bit of a valley and they need a little bit of a wake-up call. And when you go on a road trip like this, it can be beneficial because, like I said, the boys will have time to be together and bond, for lack of a better term, and really get to know one another better or whatever else. And really, this is the part where they start to get riled up and work together and really start to turn the ship around, because it certainly seems like the Penguins are coming right up on their butt.
But you see, here's the thing that worries me. All right, peaks and valleys, I get that. They're not going to win all of the games and yada, yada, yada.
They're not winning any game right now.
But, like, they're getting beat by Detroit.
They are, I'm going to have to do math, 8 points out of a playoff spot. They're going to be sellers at the deadline. They're minus 17. They do need to sell because they have a lot of old guys.
Right.
I say they're a lot of old guys, and they're, like, a couple years older than us. The Caps are eighth best in points right now with 71. They're behind St. Louis, Toronto, Winnipeg, Nashville, Vegas, Boston, and Tampa Bay. Yeah, so the Caps need to wake up is basically somehow the point you and I are trying to make.
All right, so is that...
It's a little bit of the doldrums. I do think a trade would shake them up a little bit. I think it depends who. If you go out and you trade a known, not known commodity, but like someone who's a bigger name, then that's definitely going to shake the team up. I don't anticipate that's going to happen. One of the guys that we'd sort of talked about before potentially being traded looks like that's not going to happen because the Caps signed Eller to that new 5-year deal.
Yeah, I was shocked that happened.
I wasn't as surprised he got a new deal. I was shocked that it was 5 years. He's not like 48, dude.
I think he's like, isn't he like like late 20s? Isn't he 29?
That's his number. I was like, he's 20. Wait, that's his number. He's born in 88. Yeah, he's 28.
Okay.
So he'll be 29 in May, the beginning of May. That's not that bad. I'll take that. And the thing is, his cap hit's the same at 3.5. So he's still a movable asset. He wouldn't do it right now because that really does send a message to other players that, like, even though you sign a new deal, will still move you. Teams are going to be, or players will be less likely to want to, like, sign with you in the future if they know that you're going to be like, hey, here's your deal, now get out. But I do think, you know, it was a good deal for the team. To be strong down the middle is something the Capitals were not for a number of years. And to have Backstrom, Kuznetsov, Eller, and Beagle, as long as someone isn't trying to take him out, is a very good thing. But in regards to a trade of the lineup, you know, I do think bringing someone in could be beneficial. If it's someone like Mike Green, I think that he's easier, or will have an easier time adapting to the team because he's played under Trotz before. He knows the area. He knows a lot of the guys. So a trade like that is very different than trading for someone who has never played for the Capitals before. Any of the players. I mean, nowadays players tend to train together, different guys on different teams train together in the offseason. So the likelihood of you knowing somebody or you knowing somebody who knows somebody. But the training for someone like Green is just easier all around. Now, is he the right guy for what your team needs right now is a whole different story, because really I'm wondering if this team needs a defenseman right now. If you watch the power play, you need some glasses or to practice more, because he cannot freaking put that puck on Ovechkin's stick.
Yeah, that was a big thing on Sunday as well. It was they kept passing to Ovechkin, but it was also passing to, like, Ovechkin's foot or in front of
his skate.
Yeah, you know, it was not working well on the power play. When it comes to trades, though, I would say a defenseman. I mean, look at that second period of the Detroit game. Look at the third period of the Winnipeg game. Holtby has been left out to dry, really, on these games. I mean, he's been given no help. He's making these crazy plays, trying to make some saves, and some of the stuff he just humanly can't do. This defense seems very laxed for where they're at, and I mean, adding in a veteran, like, who are you going to pair a veteran up with on this team? Is that, like, what you want? You want one of the young guys to be out there with them? I don't know. Adding a defenseman makes sense to me, but I don't know where you'd put him.
I think you put him on the third pairing with Orpik.
So just two old guys that skate in sand?
No, Green's still got speed. He's not slow. He may not be quite as fast as he was, but he's still a very talented hockey player, and he put him on the power play. I like Green. It eases up the minutes on the power play for Carlson, which then overall eases up on his minutes because he's playing the most he's ever played in his career. It eases up some of the minutes on Orlov. It definitely eases up some of the minutes on Orpik. Like, you have to play him as much to cover up for other areas with, like, Bowie playing, who's sometimes done well and sometimes struggled. I think a guy like Green isn't necessarily the worst idea, but I'd be curious as to what else is out there.
I like Green, but I don't know who you would trade away. We talked about it already. Andrei Burakovsky, they said, is off the table. He's going nowhere. So does that mean...
No one's ever off the table.
Right. Does that mean Jacob Verana is on? I mean, it...
See, the other interesting thing is going to be as to whether McClellan plans to bring Trotz back next season. Because if Trotz comes in and says, we can, you know, move Verana or Burakovsky on... Is McClellan going, well, I don't know, because it may not be your player come, you know, September.
And we know Brian McClellan, he's got the worst poker face in the world. He's already said how much money he wants to spend for John Carlson. I agree keeping John Carlson's best for this team, but...
Did he say how much he wanted to spend?
No, he's just saying, like, any price, I'm bringing this guy back. He's going to be ours for a long time.
Whatever, he's talking out of his butt.
But if I'm John Carlson's agent, and I'm like, all right, let's keep holding out. Let's see how much he'll offer.
Let's see how much you can make on that market. I mean, I'm looking at TSN's trade bait list, the top 40 players, and, you know, the first one's Evander Kane, but should he really be the first one? He's got a high cap hit. He's a crazy man. He's got 36 points. It's not bad. But then you're looking at, you know, Mike Green, and then he's number two. And then after that, you don't have another defenseman until Ian Cole with Pittsburgh at 14. And I don't think the Penguins are going to trade him to the Capitals.
No.
And then Ryan McDonagh and his huge cap hit. Actually, 4.7 is not huge, not great, but then he's 16. So there doesn't seem like there's a ton of defensemen right now.
Well, is there anyone else in that list you think could help the Caps offensively? I mean, they've struggled a bit. We've seen them kind of be scared to take shots and constantly passing it the puck around. Is there anyone who is, you know,
they're gonna put the puck on Ovechkin's goddamn stick?
There's got to be somebody besides Ovechkin to shoot. You know, there's got to be other players out there that's going to take a shot. I mean, you would think with Ovechkin, Oshie, Backstrom, Kuznetsov, just those four, I mean, would be lighting the lamp every couple seconds because there's so much firing power on there. But still, they're not getting it done. Is there anybody on the trade bait deadline, you know, that offensively could help the Caps?
I mean, could McDonagh, if they go out and bring him in, I'd be curious to see. Apparently Boston's going after him. So, you know, if you go after a player that a lot of people want, you're going to have to give up more to get him because now we're getting into a bidding war. Do you go out and try and bring in Jack Johnson? Do you feel like he's the guy?
Isn't he recording a new record?
Other Jack Johnson.
Oh, okay. I missed him when he came into to Merriweather this past year.
I like Jack Johnson.
Me too. I'm a little bummed I missed him.
I mean, there's going to be guys out there. And there's guys that are probably not on this list that, you know, could help this team. When's the deadline again? The end of the month?
Yeah, it's the end of this month. So it's like a week and a half.
They need to do something. I mean, if they stay pat, right? If they stay with what they're doing, I think it's a mistake. I know that he's March 3rd. That's not right. What the hell? When's the trade deadline, Brandon?
Isn't it like February?
Monday, February 26th.
Yeah, 26th.
At 3 p.m. So it's Monday, February 26th.
That's what I was going to say anyway.
You weren't. Liar! 2 weeks ago from 2 weeks from this past Monday. It's a little over a week and a half. I think standing pat would be a mistake. I think this team does need another defenseman, and I think it needs to be someone who is a free agent at the end of the season because they need the cap space. But then, you know, someone like Green, you have the more likelihood of potentially bringing him back again, depending on what it would cost, because you do want to re-sign John Carlson. And I'm sure. Well, now that Eller's off the, you know, you don't need to sign him. And McClellan also, I did see this about McClellan was talking about, he thinks the cap ceiling is going to go up to $79 million. So that's an additional $4 million in cap space that you didn't have this year because currently it's at 75. But you have to go out. You got to re-sign Tom Wilson. You're going to want to re-sign Jay Beagle. I have to imagine Alex Chason is going to need a new deal. Devontae Smith-Pelly.
You're keeping Chase on?
I'm just saying these guys are out of a contract. I'm not saying I necessarily want to keep them.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think Chayshon's gone just because they'll – unless he really picks it up, I think he's gone just because they'll want – although they like his speed, I think. But they'll just probably go and find someone else. Carlson needs a new deal. He's probably going to get somewhere between 6 and 6.5 would be my guess, especially if he hits the open market. Chorney needs a new deal. My guess is he's gone. Bowie will need a new deal. And Grubauer needs a new deal. Looking in the minors – and Riley Barber, Tyler Lewington, they need new deals, but I don't know if they'll necessarily be on the team. Liam O'Brien, your boy, he needs a new deal. Hershey may need to blow it up because right now they're just – man, they're bad. Well, I'm bad just not winning, but I haven't done games. I don't know. But, yeah, this team is – they got some interesting things to do in the offseason, but in regards to this season, I do think they need to shake it up a little bit with a trade, at least for a defenseman. I don't think they need to necessarily bring anybody in the forward ranks for this team just because I don't. I think they're fine. I think their depth is okay. I mean, if they had a ton of injuries, knock on wood that they don't. But I think right now they're doing okay. Chandler Stephenson, those guys are doing well. On the back end, I would like to see a little bit more from someone like Smith-Pelly and Chason, but, you know, you only get so much in the middle of the season.
Now, we are talking about all this and about trades and this, that, whatever. There's a chance there is going to be an open spot on this team because Jay Beagle took a nasty slash.
F you, Bufflin.
Yeah, we don't know the status of Jay Beagle right now, so there might be an open slot offensively. That's why I was asking you earlier about the trade deadline, if you bring anyone in offensively, because we don't know what's going on with Jay Beagle right now. He's a big question mark. He took a bad slash from Dustin Bufflin and the Winnipeg game, and it changed everything for the Winnipeg game if you really think about it. I mean, if he would have been able to get that pass off to Oshie could have gotten the empty netter, yeah, and boom, game's over. Instead, the Caps got a loss in OT. It changed the whole face of the game. But when you take out my boy Beegs, there's going to be like hell to pay. I mean, what was your thought? What was your thought on that play? I mean, I know, of course, you didn't like it, but when you first saw it, did you think, oh, that's not a hockey play? Like Barry Trotz said, it wasn't a hockey play. What's your thoughts on it?
My thoughts is it's borderline dirty play. Okay, so Beagle's got around you. He made a nice fake. He got around you. He's beat you. He slashed him twice.
Yeah.
And it's one thing if you're going for the hands, you know, or you're going for the stick or whatever it may be, and you're doing the normal slash where your hands are not together on the stick and you're reaching out and you're just hitting him. I get that, okay? That annoys me when players do that, hit each other's legs and stuff, but that's the pads. It's not a big deal. But what Bufflin did is he took both hands together and just freaking chopped down or across, swung, almost, you know, I don't know if I'm going to go so far as say baseball style, but, you know, he swung and hit him in the ribs hard. And then the fact that the NHL came down on him with only a $5,000 fine, which, yes, that's money out of his pocket, but he's making, I don't know how much, but I'll look it up right now. He's making probably an S ton of money. So it's really not that big of a deal in the long run, him getting a $5,000 fine, and he helped his team win the game. And now is that players may look at that going, well, I'll take a minor penalty and a little bit of money out of my bank account. He's making $7.6 million a year. You really think $5,000 is going to do anything to him? It's not going to do anything. Okay? He probably, you know, uses that for toilet paper. The fact that NHL players are now going to, you know, you may have players now, like someone like Rocco Gudas, who's a douchebag. He may look at this and go, well, wait a minute. I can go and take a penalty like that, stop my team from, you know, another team from scoring an empty net goal, or stop them from being in a situation where they may have a chance to score. I'll lose a small amount of money, a very small amount comparative to what I'm making per year. And in the end, my team benefits from it. And there's no real ramifications for it.
Right.
He didn't get suspended. He got a minor fine. It was the most allowed by the collective bargaining agreement. I get that aspect of things. To me, that's irrelevant. The fact that it completely changed the face of the game. Yes, in the long run, the Capitals should have played better in that period. They shouldn't have dicked around with the puck on the power play. They probably should have added more goals. And they probably should have scored on empty net or got it out of the zone with much more energy and vigor than they did in that third period at the end of the game when Winnipeg was able to tie it up. Okay, the Capitals definitely lost that game. But the BS play by Bufflin made it so much worse with the fact that clearly was an attempt to injure and stop a player. if it's a knee on knee, if he swung at the head, you know, I think he gets a suspension. But the fact that he hit him in the ribs and the player clearly was in pain and could not finish the play, it's just a minor penalty for slashing, is complete BS.
Yeah, that wasn't that. To me, that wasn't just a slash. That was I'm not trying to break your stick. I'm not trying to.
That's assault with the stick.
That is, I'm trying to hurt you.
I'm not saying like criminal charges should be filed.
No. No, this is something different. I mean, he was going for – he wanted to stop the play. And the only thing he knew to do was to hit him in the ribs. I don't think his intention was to injure Jay Beagle long term, but that may have really been what happened. We don't know right now. I mean, Jay could have – he could have a couple cracked ribs, a broken rib. He could have just had the wind knocked out of him. We don't know. But to me, that play was intent – to stop the play by any means necessary. And that wasn't safe. It wasn't smart. And I mean, the fact that he hit him and then he slashed them again. I mean, that's
twice.
I mean, that definitely shows intent of what you were trying to do. That should be your first clue that this is more than just a fine.
Yeah, no, it's bad. And the fact that the NHL just came out with a fine is completely ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, I expected it. Everyone's talking about how it's just going to be a fine, but it's just absurd.
But, I mean, that's where we're at right now. So, I mean, that kind of sucks. Hopefully Jay Beagle's okay. Hopefully that we see him on the ice soon. Who knows? I guess we'll know more maybe tomorrow if they recall someone from Hershey of how bad this might be. But
I mean, I do think that you can slide someone over like Chandler Stephenson into that spot because he has played center before, and he is a center.
Right.
But Beagle's ability to win the defensive zone faceoffs, his defensive responsibilities on the PK and overall, is something that the Capitals will miss if he's out for a significant period of time. Now, he may not be out. We don't actually know anything at the moment. I'm going to check on Twitter to see. But from Beagle is day-to-day, Caps will see how he feels tomorrow, and that will determine his status for the game. So, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's out for a game. You know, it definitely hurts the team. It's not the end of the world. It's not like losing Backstrom or Ovechkin. But they could definitely use, Beagle's a very good player to have, and to have that strength down the middle of your lineup is important.
Jay Beagle, in the playoffs. Yeah, absolutely. But you're saying it's not like losing Backstrom or Ovechkin. Yeah, to a certain extent, but Jay Beagle is a constant on this team. He is that lower guy. He's a role player. He knows what he has to do. He it's his job to win faceoffs, get a couple goals every now and again. But he's a constant. He's a if you got to kill a couple penalties, he's out there doing that as well. You lose Jay Beagle, you lose a very versatile player who can fill in many different roles. I mean, you and I have talked about it. He's played on the same line with Ovechkin. He can do many, many things. Losing Jay Beagle, I think, is we're going to feel a major impact if he's not there for a while. I think,
I don't think it sounds like a while. He's day to day. My guess is
maybe miss Minnesota, come back in Chicago.
Yeah, then they have Friday off and he plays in Chicago. So he gets 3 days off. And then he plays in Chicago and then they have Sunday off and they play Buffalo and they come back home against Tampa. So, how is Minnesota right now?
Cold.
Well, that's certainly unlikely true. I had it up at 9-11. Either way, I mean, this team definitely can play better all around. Losing Beagle is not going to help, and the NHL just again misses the whole point with finding someone, in a situation like that, because it doesn't send the message. The message with a suspension, the message with a fine should be, you are not allowed to do this. You did it anyway, and here is your punishment.
If you're dumb, you don't get to play.
Well, this goes beyond dumb. This is if you're an a-hole.
That's true.
Right?
If you're an a-hole, you don't get to play.
Yeah. I think the other one was, you don't get to play if you're going to be dumb. This one was, if you're an a-hole, you don't get to play. Because, it's a negative consequence. Like, I work with children. I know this. If you do something wrong, you get a negative consequence. That's one way to work with kids. I'm not saying it's the way to work with kids. But, positive negative reinforcement, that's what it's called. Positive reinforcements. You've done something good. You get for lack of a better term, a reward. Right? You get something good for that. Whatever that may be is irrelevant. You do something wrong, you get a negative reinforcement to try and change that behavior. The team, the NHL has not done that. by fining Buffalo. He's not going to care that he's been fined.
Yeah, I hear you. I agree with that. It's not the best thing for the NHL to do. I don't agree with it. I don't like losing Jay Beagle. All right, anything else we should cover in Caps world?
Oh, we got a couple of things. Buffalo wasn't the only one misbehaving at the game in Winnipeg. Bowie was fined $1,890.68, which is the maximum allowed under the CBA, for his hit on Matt Hendricks. Actually, sent Hendricks out of the game. How are you going to get hit, Matty Hendricks?
Come on.
Yeah. So Bowie got a little bit of a fine. Mine actually didn't see that hit. People were complaining a little bit. Jets fans were complaining a little bit on Twitter, but it sounds like Bowie certainly felt remorseful afterwards, and I think he may have gone up to Hendricks or something like that.
Got punched in the face and said, I deserved it.
Well, probably something like that, because I don't think – it doesn't seem like Bowie's a dirty player. Yeah. He's not Dustin Byfuglien.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it for Caps roll. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see a trade before the deadline. I mean, we had a pretty big one that happened what was that, today? Yesterday? Yesterday, I think. We'll be talking about later. But, I think they definitely need to make a move. I wouldn't be surprised if they made one move. Maybe they make a depth move, and the moves in Hershey don't count. So it's one or two. Maybe we see someone like Grubauer go out. You know?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Does Detroit need a goalie?
We'll see. We shall see. So that is pretty much it for what's going on in Caps world. We're going to go down on the farm, but before we do that, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
Welcome back to the show. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what is going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past week, Hershey went 1-2 with an overtime win over Rochester. Now, the Bears are currently last in the Atlantic Division. Yep. With a record of 19-25-7, which is good for 45 points. I'm not even going to say how far behind they are first because it's a lot. Bears need a bit of a shakeup. They wake up, and hopefully they will attempt to make some sort of run out of last place, starting on Friday in Lovell. I think that's how you say that. Saturday in Belleville, and they'll have a game on Monday in Toronto. So maybe this road trip will be a chance for them to bond and wake up. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 2-0-1 with wins over Worcester and Manchester. They're currently second in the South Division with a record of 31-11-6, which is good for 68 points, five back of first place Florida. The Stingrays will be back at it on Friday at the North Charleston Coliseum against Jacksonville, followed up with a game on Tuesday, also at home, against Norfolk. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right. Well, Bears, figure something out, guys. Come on. Jeez.
Hey, now I don't have to worry if I go to a game and they lose because it ain't going to make a difference.
Wow. I mean, I know you lost Chris Bork and all, but jeez. Get on it, man. All right.
Yeah, come on.
Go Bears. Go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. Everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. They're staying busy while the Olympics are going on. They're trying to give you some counter programming. They're like CBS and Big Brother. They don't want you watching the Olympics and the luge. They want you watching NHL hockey. Are you tuning into NHL more than the Olympics? We don't know. I mean, I'm watching a little bit of everything, but Coach Dan, tell us what's going on around the NHL.
Well, we already talked about Buffalo and how he's a D-bag, and he was only fined for a slash on Beagle. Way to go, NHL, sending a message. We had a big trade that went down as Dion Phaneuf was traded for, I think, the third time in his career, as Ottawa sent him and forward Nate Thompson to L.A. for forwards Marian Gaborik and Nick Shore. Now, if I have this correct, this is the first non-Canadian team that Phaneuf has played for.
Is this also, didn't he get traded mid-game?
Yeah, but they were playing against Pittsburgh, and they pulled him after the second period.
Let him finish the game!
Like, do you remember? Well, you can't, because if, like, you know, if he gets hurt, then you're screwed.
Alright, then
do you remember years ago with the Orioles when they traded, I want to say it was Larry Bigby, and they pulled him out of the game?
Not really, but I'll take your word for it.
Reporters all ran to interview whoever the GM was at the time. Because he may, or maybe it was when they were acquiring Bigby? I don't remember. The point is, it was funny. But yeah, this is the first team that Phaneuf has played for out of Canada. Because he started with Calgary, got traded to Toronto, got traded to Ottawa, I think. And now he's traded to LA. Now this actually kind of works out for Phaneuf, because remember, he's married to Alicia Cuthbert.
Ooh, that's right. That lucky dog.
So this probably, yeah, there's that. This probably works out quite nicely for him, as I have to imagine her being an actress. I haven't seen anything recently. That doesn't mean she's, is this show?
I don't. Unless,
she was.
She was on 24, right? Back in the day.
But that was kind of what made her a bigger name. But I could have
The Ranch. Something recent.
Not what I was thinking.
I watched like two episodes.
Happy Endings was no. Then one big. I don't remember.
I watched like Either two. Way. I watched like two episodes of The Ranch. It wasn't that funny. Oh, she was in Goon, the Goon sequel. I haven't watched that yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. But yeah, good for Phaneuf, and not just being traded to LA, but other stuff. LA's Dustin Brown was suspended for one game for kneeing Tampa Bay's Mikhail Sergachev. Las Vegas is, I know it's Vegas, but I'm calling him Las Vegas. Derek Englund was fined $2,688.17. It's the 17 cents that really kills him. That's the maximum allowed under the CBA for cross-checking Chicago's Brandon Saad. That's not nice. And finally, Vancouver signed their GM, Jim Benning, to a new multi-year deal. So good things for him. Vancouver looks like they might be on a nice roll with their rebuilding as they continue to move forward. But that's the news from the past week in the NHL.
All right. So what's going on with in the Olympics? What's going on with USA hockey? How's everything going there?
Which one? Because one's good and one is very much like the 50-50? I don't know. One good, one suck. Let's see. We'll start with the women because they actually know what they're doing. They won their opener 3-1 over Finland, and then they dominated against the Olympic athletes from Russia 5-0.
Well, you say that, but that first period against Russia, the USA women's team looked lost out there. Like they looked like they didn't know what was going on. But I mean, I had to go to work, so I missed the rest of the game. But apparently, like after I saw the score, I'm like, all right, well, they went into the locker room and they're like, wow, we forgot what they were doing. Let's get back on this. And they did great against the OAR.
5-0 over the OAR. So they have won their first two games. Over on the men's side, they're dumb. They're playing like the freaking Capitals out there. They had a 2-0 lead against Slovenia and then took a nap.
This is like the first win Slovenia has had, like a big win in like 20 years.
In the history of their country. I'm being dumb. This is pretty bad. The fact that they let them back in the game and they shouldn't have done it. And there was plenty of opportunity for them to win that game. They eased up a bit. They let them back in the game, and it was stupid. They didn't clear the puck out in front of the net. They were able to tie it up with a little bit of time to go. And then, what was it like? I think it was two or three minutes to go in the game. I watched the third period this morning. And then, let them win in overtime. It was bad. Did Bork even play in that game?
Yeah, Bork was out there. They were actually talking about Chris Bork before the game.
I feel like I didn't hear his name at all.
They were talking about how he was going to be one of the leaders on this team, and they were even saying, like, after this, an NHL team might pick him up. Like, that's how much they were talking about how great Chris Bork was.
Well, he played – that can't be right. Oh, God. He played a lot. I was like, they didn't total it up. They have is how much he played. This is pretty interesting. So on the Pyeongchang website for the Olympics, you can go and look at the game sheet, and it actually has their time on ice. So it has first period, second period, third period, overtime, total, how many shifts he took, and the average time he was on the ice. That's pretty interesting. He played a total of 11 minutes and 56 seconds, although I wonder how true this is, because it says that Jim Slater and James Wisniewski played 2 minutes and 51 seconds and 2 minutes and 20 seconds. That's weird. So he played 11 minutes and 56 seconds, which is on the low end compared to a lot of players. But, you know, looks like he didn't take any shots on goal. Oh, he took one shot on goal in the first. And was a minus one. So, yeah. But, yeah, the Mets need to wake up because they're currently 0-1 in their tournament.
Kind of hard to go for the gold if you can't beat Slovenia.
And the Wild play in a couple hours.
Yeah, it's going to be – they're up against Canada. I can't wait for that game.
That's going to be nuts.
It's going to be a good one. And the men face I think they have a –
they play Friday.
And then they play
on – 10-10 against Slovakia.
That can't be right because they play Saturday morning.
No, man. No, they don't.
Yeah, they play Saturday morning against the OAR.
Wait, hold on. No, well, then something's wrong with this thing because it's currently showing. I'm looking at their website right now. It says they're playing Slovakia at – oh, no, I'm sorry. Okay, I see what the problem is. It's Friday for in South Korea, but it's Thursday night for us.
There we go.
At 10-10. Okay, that makes more sense now. And then Saturday they play at 9:10 p.m. their time. So they play a little after lunch on Friday. I'm sorry. On Thursday. No, shit. This is so confusing.
So hold on. Okay. So Thursday, tomorrow.
They play Friday and Saturday. They play a day game on Friday and a night game on Saturday.
Right. So, but for Eastern Standard in the USA.
Thursday night and Saturday morning.
Thursday night at 10:10 is Slovakia. Saturday morning at 7:10 a.m. is USA versus Russia. Why Correct. Are you playing a video, CBS Sports? No one cares.
That little thing going. Yeah. So they play. Who came up with this freaking schedule? But yeah, no, the women are doing very well. Men, not so much.
Yeah, and we're seeing what it's doing with NHL players back home. Like, somebody asked Ovechkin, hey, are you watching the Olympics? And he was like, no. Well, maybe some hockey. Thanks a lot, Bettman. So, like, he's not holding back at all. He's not happy that he's in Winnipeg right now, not in South Korea. So, he's not the only one that's ticked off. But, I mean, God, you think about it. The USA team could have been Oshie. Could have been John Carlson before he got hurt. Jack Eichel, Austin Matthews. I mean, there's so many guys that, so many new guys too that could be a part of this team. The USA this Olympics really could have been a force to be reckoned with. And now here they are losing to Slovenia in the opening round.
Yeah, it's. I mean, hopefully, when we had that sounds just like the Capitals. Wasn't it? Canada in was it Salt Lake or the one after that where they started and they were garbage. They like lost their first two or three games in the round robin and then they went on and won the whole thing. So I don't think that's necessarily the case, but you know, it's certainly a possibility of something that could happen for a team. I'm not saying the U.S. team could do it, but someone could.
And let me just tell you this, I mean, we're not used to watching international hockey very often, but man, that ice rink size changes the game so much. I was watching the women up against the OAR, and I couldn't get over how much bigger that rink is and how much space there is behind the goal.
Oh, yeah.
It's just mind-blowing. I mean, there's fewer penalties. There's more room to work. I mean, it really is almost a whole different game from international hockey to the NHL rink size.
No, I mean, we see it every, not every time, but, you know, when there's in the U.S., that the rink is massive.
Yeah, it looks like a soccer field compared to the the rinks that we're used to.
I'm not going
to
go that far, but yeah, it's definitely large.
All right. So is that it for the show? Have we covered everything?
I think that's it, man.
All right. Well, if you guys want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is go over to Twitter, tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. Talk about all kinds of Capitals related stuff and how the men's hockey team is garbage. And the women are doing well. And other Olympic related stuff, as well as occasional things about Arsenal and DC United. They're making some moves. Not the Skins, because Bruce Allen's also a D-bag. He and Dustin Buffett can hang out at the D-bag bar. as well as other sports-related things at WTB Coach Dan. But if you like the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Learn about when we got new shows coming out, all other things related to the Capitals, and just hockey in general and all kind of fun stuff. And again, probably about how the men's hockey team choked against Slovenia. But that's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Brandon!
Yeah?
Why don't you do everybody here a favor and tell them all about Brando Cash Entertainment?
All right. That's new. go to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment and all the podcasts we do, including What the Puck. Like Coach Dan said, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod, as well as our Twitter account at whatthepuckpod. And whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. My current season of Maryland Farm and Harvest has been completed. The finale aired last week. If you go to videos.mpt.tv, you can watch the entire fifth season of Maryland Farm and Harvest. You can check that out there. So, until we talk again, let's go over the games we got coming up. On Thursday, February 15th, the Caps are in Minnesota, don't you know? That game's at 8 o'clock. You can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington. Then they're still traveling, going to Chicago. That game is at 8:30, NBC Sports Washington. That will be potentially the location of Cody Rhodes' All In Wrestling show. But we don't know that yet. I'm a nerd. Shut up. So on Monday, February 19th, the Capitals are in Buffalo. That game is at, that can't be right, on a Monday? 3 p.m. on a Monday?
It's President's Day.
So they're doing a Monday President's Day? Like, not everyone has off that day. All right. 3 o'clock, it says on their website. NBC Sports Washington. I guess I know what I'm doing for my day off. Hanging out at Hooters. And then on Tuesday, the Caps come back to D.C. February 20th, the Caps are up against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and you can watch that game on NBC Sports Washington. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you all for listening. Everybody, say it loud. Say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.